MU reports city leaders are working hard to let people know that Branson is open for business.
In the early hours of February 29th, an EF2 tornado plowed its way along Highway 76 in Branson. Because it hit one of the city's prime tourist areas, it made national news. The Weather Channel's Mike Bettis came to survey the damage.
We've got debris that is strewn all around us right here in what's known as the Branson Strip, where this is where all the hotels are and the restaurants and the theaters run along Highway 76 here. And this is an area that was hit pretty hard.
It gave us a challenge when it comes to controlling the message. As you probably are aware, the media is very difficult to control. Almost impossible.
That's Ross Summers, president and CEO of the Branson Lakes Area Chamber of Commerce. He says while more than 40 businesses sustained damage, most places remained open. He wants the millions who visit Branson each year to know that they shouldn't cancel their vacation plans.
We really took a chance and were criticized to some degree in telling people that, you know, by golly, we're still here and we're still open, because right across the street there was a hotel that was completely destroyed.
It wasn't just the Chamber of Commerce that was worrying about the message. Businesses here were in full damage control mode. YouTube videos showing massive debris piles along the Branson Strip made the rounds on social media sites. So promoters of the Branson show Legends in Concert created their own video highlighting the damage at their theater. It features the show's celebrity impersonators, including the Blues Brothers, with a message for would-be visitors.
We've got a lot of work ahead, but we're going to be back and ready to entertain at no time at all.
And remember that Branson is open for business and needs your support now more than ever.
Jeannie Horton is general manager of the Legends in Concert show and says she worried as much about the fallout from the media coverage as she did about the actual damage.
We're very concerned reopening too with all the national attention as Branson closed, what's happening, and we want to get the message out there that we're open for business. And really there was just a few theaters that were damaged to the extent, you know, of not being able to open.
Though her theater lost much of its roof and lobby and its video and sound system, it reopened 6 weeks after the storm. Horton is standing outside the theater where repair work is continuing.
All the stucco on the side of the building had to be replaced because there were sticks in it and glass. And we're very blessed that the workers worked so quickly to get this done.
Workers are still busy over at the Hilton Hotel, where the tornado ravaged one side of the building and blasted out windows. That hotel isn't expected to reopen until the fall. You may be able to get a sense of Branson's summer prospects by talking to tourists like Walter Berry, who drove here from the St. Louis area.
You know, you could go on the internet and all that and see the pictures of spots we knew and looked pretty bad. But I knew they'd be right back, because they keep building new stuff.
Branson is reinventing itself yet again, this time as a town working hard to recover from a tornado while trying to lure tourists to vacation in the Ozarks this summer. For NPR News, I'm Missy Shelton.
Project Insight in Macomb, Illinois, is an alternative school. In other words, it's for junior and senior high schoolers who have behavioral problems. So you might think it would be pretty unlikely to get all 52 of those students working together to achieve a common goal. Not only would you be wrong, but you can now see the result for yourself in a piece of public art. Rich Egger reports.
Yay! The mosaic was unveiled outside the school on a bright and warm spring day. Like the day, the mosaic itself is bright, full of shades of reds and blues and other vibrant colors. It's made of broken dishes combined with pieces of mirrors. They're laid out in a specific pattern.
It's geometrical, it's balanced on all sides, and it has a center, a middle ground, and an edge.
Which means it's a mandala, says Macomb-based artist Kelly Quinn, who came up with the design and oversaw the project. She says there's a purpose to the design of a mandala.
The actual process of looking at it, your eyes go through a certain pattern, and it promotes calmness and meditation. And they've been around for thousands of years.
This one was 6 to 8 weeks in the making. Project Insight students were involved every step of the way. The main part of this mandala measures 8 feet by 8 feet. Its border is made up of 36 smaller mandalas. Each of those was created by the students. One of those students is Rayetta Parker of Rushville, who has an interest in art.
I like to paint, and I like to create new things. like sculptures.
Do you think you'll try to do a mosaic like this again?
Oh, a million times. It's fun. And it what I love the most about it is everyone worked together. Everyone helped you. It wasn't a fighting thing to get done. It was, you know, can you hand me that? And they'd do it. It was just work together. And it's perfect, I think.
Principal Betsy Wiak also thinks it's beautiful. She's talking not just about the mandala, but also about the way the students came together.
They used their artistic ability to, pursue a new avenue, a release for their stress, and gets their mind off of maybe what may not be going well in their lives.
Artist Kelly Quinn says she was honored to work with the students. She thinks they're talented, though she says they don't always realize what they have to offer. Quinn says the mandala gave them a chance to see a piece through from start to finish and experience the feeling of success.
Everybody found something they really enjoyed doing. Some people love gluing, some love cleaning, some love the design element. Everybody loved breaking the plates, which is, it's actually very liberating to break some of these plates.
Quinn is also impressed that Project Insight is willing to focus on the arts, especially at a time when the arts seem to be on the wane in public schools. Student Rayetta Parker is happy, too. She says it most definitely helped her to see how a professional artist goes about her business.
She has, like, this tickle inside of her head that goes there and that goes there. And after seeing this all together, it's amazing how you can combine so many different shapes and forms together.
Is there one particular thing you learned from her as an artist?
No matter how difficult it looks, if you stick with it, anything's possible.
This project was made possible by the Illinois Arts Council, which provided much of the funding for it. The artwork can be seen on the north wall of Project Insight, right along well-traveled West Adams Street. The street could see even more car, bicycle, and pedestrian traffic in coming years if the city follows through on its plans to enhance the West Adams corridor. Perhaps the mandala can be considered one of the first improvements to that corridor, a colorful bit of public art pieced together when Project Insight students came together and made it happen. Rich Egger reporting.
The Xbox 360 is getting just a little smarter. Microsoft Corporation unveiled new software called Xbox Smart Glass that will allow Xbox 360 users to share content across smartphones, tablets, and television. It also announced it was bringing its Internet Explorer browser to the console. The app was demonstrated on a smartphone used to browse the Internet on TV and on a tablet to display information about a game playing on TV. This all happened today at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, where Microsoft said today its voice recognition ability for its camera-based Kinect system would be available in 12 more countries. The company hyped new Halo and Forza installments and revealed new Gears of War and Dance Central games, as well as Ascend New Gods, Loco Cycle, and Matter from director-producer Gore Verbinski. No news as to the rumor that they may be combining Angry Birds with Pong, but I sure would look forward to that.
As a WILL listener, you have the power to make a positive and lasting investment in this vital and respected resource. Have you considered including Illinois Public Media in your estate plans? You can help ensure this station's future for generations to come. For information about the Legacy Circle, call Don DeBeard at 217-333-7300 or go online at will.illinois.edu/support.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 4th of June, 2012. It's the 40th birthday of the novelist Joe Hill, born Joseph Hillstrom King in Herman, Maine, 1972, author of two novels, Heart-Shaped Box and Horns, and a collection of short stories, 20th Century Ghosts. Joe Hill, who used a pen name because he wanted to see if he could make it as a writer, on his own merit and not as the son of the novelist Stephen King. It was on this date in 1896, a young engineer, Henry Ford, completed the building and successfully tested his first experimental automobile, which he called the quadricycle. It was on four bicycle tires. He'd been working on it for 2 years out in the shed behind his house on Bagley Avenue in Detroit. It was all ready to test when he discovered it was too wide to go through the door of the workshop, so he had to take an axe to the door frame and the bricks and open up the garage, and soon he was rolling down Grand River Avenue. Two-cycle, four-horsepower engine. It could go up to 20 miles per hour. It had two gears and no brakes, ran on ethanol. It was steered by a tiller. Was not much to look at, but the test drive was a success. It was on this date, 1913, the British suffragist Emily Wilding Davison threw herself in front of George V's racehorse at the Epsom Derby, one of the most famous horse races in the world. She crawled under the rail and stepped in front of the horse. She was intending to stick a suffragette flag to the saddle, but the horse ran straight into her. She was knocked into the air, never regained consciousness, died of her injuries 4 days later. And it was on this date, 1919, the 19th Amendment passed the Senate and gave American women the right to vote. An amendment drafted by Susan B. Anthony with the help of Elizabeth Cady Stanton. It was first formally introduced in 1878. It didn't come up before the Senate in 1887. It was voted down, wasn't considered again until 1914, defeated again. But in 1918, President Wilson threw his support behind the suffrage movement. During the war, women had entered the workforce in large numbers. Wilson said, "We have made partners of the women in this war. Shall we admit them only to a partnership of suffering and sacrifice and not to a partnership of right?" And the amendment passed both houses of Congress the following spring. Here's a poem for today by E.E. Cummings. It may not always be so. It may not always be so. And I say that if your lips, which I have loved, should touch another's, and your dear strong fingers clutch his heart as mine in time not far away, if on another's face your sweet hair lay in such a silence as I know, or such great writhing words as uttering over